Well, tonight, brothers and sisters, I want to share something with you that God has laid on my heart. We've already put the title out, and that is Having a Teachable Spirit. And I would like to share with you from the Word what God wants from us in light of having a teachable spirit. Now, when we come to Christ, we don't all necessarily have a teachable spirit. And God has to start to work with us like he does, like a loving heavenly father who begins to work with his son. So likewise with us, he has to begin to work with us so that we start to mature and come into a place of a teachable spirit. Because without a teachable spirit, we are fundamentally going to make the same mistake that the children of Israel did. And remember that they didn't make it into the kingdom of God. And so God knows how to work with us and guide us and lead us and teach us. But he also requires of us to have a teachable spirit. Because if we don't have that teachable spirit, we're never going to be able to discern truth. We might think that because we read the Word of God and we memorize it and the Scriptures and we learn our theology, that that is us knowing God and knowing his Word. It's not at all. It's unless we approach God's Word, whether we read it ourselves or whether it's being taught to us, that we have that spirit of teachableness, openness, ready to learn, ready to change, so that we can be conformed yet more and more into the image of Jesus. And that is what he's looking for in this hour. So that's really tonight what I would like to look upon. And our life in Christ is a schooling. And in this schooling, there are trials. Not only trials, but there are also, praise God, blessings. And life in Christ is a life to be learned. Because our learning in this life is getting us prepared for eternity. And in eternity, the Bible shows us that there are rewards for those who overcome. And so what we learn in this life and what we attain is set for us for eternity. And so it's very important how we hear and how we learn. And a lot of this is seen tonight as we begin to open up the Scriptures in Proverbs. Proverbs is full of this. But I've just highlighted and brought out some Scriptures tonight that just show us the importance of how we learn. Are we teachable? Do we have that right spirit and heart before Almighty God? And let's turn first to Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 5. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 5. And here it says in Proverbs, a wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. And so there we're shown that to have a teachable spirit shows wisdom. It shows you why for God. And so this wise man who hears, we're told, increases in learning. Learning about what? Well, obviously learning about God and his ways. And he says a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. And how we need wisdom in all that we learn through the Word of God. Because without wisdom, the word that we learn can also damage, can also deceive, can also corrupt lives, cause those who are seeking God to run away. And so wisdom, knowledge, understanding is essential in our application of how we apply and teach the Word of God, and how we assimilate it, and how we take it in. And all of this can only be taught by the Holy Spirit, as we receive by the Spirit, with that teachable heart, wanting to learn from God. I want to show quite a few scriptures in this. Also in the same chapter, in verse 8, where it's speaking about we're to avoid or shun evil counsels. It says here in verse 8, "My son, hear the instruction of your father, and do not forsake the law of your mother." So there again, we're being told to hear instruction, and also the instruction of a wise mother. Sadly today, there are some mothers who are not wise, but that is referring to a mother here who lovingly brings up her children and teaches them. So we're to hear instruction from a father. Let's turn also to Proverbs chapter 5. In Proverbs chapter 5, verses 1 to 2. Proverbs chapter 5, verses 1 to 2. And he says, "My son, pay attention to my wisdom. Lend your ear to my understanding, that you may preserve discretion and your lips may keep knowledge." So we're beginning to see a little bit more about this learning. He says here, pay attention again to my wisdom, to my words. That's what it means. He says, now lend your ear to my understanding. In other words, he says, let your ear be attentive. Let it be open. Hear everything that is said. Don't miss a thing. That you may preserve discretion and your lips may keep knowledge. Here again is where we speak with that wisdom. That we are discreet. We are wise with our words. Economy of words sometimes is the best thing that comes out of our mouth. Jesus at times was a man of few words. And the reason being that he was a man of few words, because his actions spoke more. And that's what we have to learn as Christians. Our actions must speak louder than our words. And that is the true test of any saint. And that's why we're to grow up and mature now as sons and daughters of God. And they will learn that one. So that is what it's really telling us here. Then if we look also in Proverbs, going back to chapter 2 of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 to 5, here it speaks here about the value of wisdom again, or the value of the Word of God. And he says, "My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commandments within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding, yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for a hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." That's tremendous promise there. So he says, if you apply your heart to understanding, if you cry out for discernment. So we're beginning to see now that we're also encouraged and challenged to start to cry out and ask for this teachable spirit. Some people tonight may say, yeah, well, I'm hearing what you're saying, but, you know, I don't always understand. There are things that come out. I just don't understand what's being said. Well, you know, that is inexcusable after a time. And the reason being is because God says, ask of me and I will give. You know, I can't believe that anyone who will ask of God to understand his word, what he's saying, to be taught, will ever ask that in unbelief. I don't believe so. We know that if we ask God, that he is going to move heaven and earth to teach us this. And he will. So we are without excuse. The children of Israel were without excuse. And the reason that they perished in the wilderness, because they weren't asking God to learn God's ways, to learn those miracles they were seeing, to ask God for the fear of God that is a beginning of wisdom. You don't very often see Israel asking that, only in the times when they were being chastised and they felt sorry for themselves. And so often we can repeat that, what Israel did. So he says, yes, if you cry out for discernment, if you lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Do you want to know God's word? Do you want to understand God's word? Then the key to it is having the fear of God that is the beginning of wisdom. Those that obey the word of God and live by the word are also those who are learning what it is to have the fear of God, which is the beginning of wisdom. You know, so often we've got it all around the wrong way. We open all these theological colleges around the world, and we think that students that go there are going to go and learn the word of God and produce holy men and women. And I'm not saying that some can't be, but I think that tells us an awful lot of the level of spirituality that there is so much around today. Because unless you ask the Holy Spirit and you ask the right things, which it's showing us here to do, and asking also for the fear of God, which is the beginning of wisdom, that wisdom is learning of God and applying that word. There are not so many who seek God in that way, but God wants us to. And that's why he's addressing it to us tonight. He's showing us that there is so much more we can learn from God and his ways, because we have the greatest teacher now, and that is the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to show that later on. We also see again we're encouraged in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 to 3 of Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 to 3. He says, my son, do not forsake my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. And he goes on, let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them on your neck. Write them on the tablets of your heart, and so on. So again, we're shown here that the word of God, if we take it in and we desire to learn and have that teachable spirit, then he says as a result of it, a blessing that will come from that is that you will have length of days and long life. Now, why has God said that he's going to give us length of days and long life? Well, I think something that comes to mind in this is because the word of God is such a blessing, because the word is so eternal, he says, I'm going to enrich you in your old age so you can learn as much as you like in this life. Now, that is a blessing in itself. So there's another good reason why to believe the promise of long life, a fruitful life, is so that we can learn more of God and his word for that very reason. And that's what glorifies him. Hallelujah. Amen. Then we see in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 1. In Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 1, he says, hear, my children, the instruction of a father, and give attention to no understanding. So he speaks and shows us that he is our father. Learn from our father. And he says, I'm going to, and give attention to no understanding. So because he's our father, and because of that, we should give attention to him. We shouldn't come into his presence flippantly. We shouldn't just come into his presence and think, oh, this is just another teaching or whatever. No, because he's our Father and we have the blessed comfort of the Holy Spirit, he's teaching us. And so he's give attention, and with that, understanding. And that understanding means that you ask God when you don't understand a thing, and he will show you, he will teach you, he will enlighten it to you. Now, God doesn't always give it to you straight away, but if you desire that, you're teachable, then God is going to enrich you with the deep wisdom and truths of his word. I remember years ago, I know some in the assembly have heard this before, but we have brothers and sisters who have joined us tonight. Years ago, as God was preparing and bringing me into the ministry, he showed me that the teaching of his word is like an onion. And I saw this onion in the spirit. And God began to take a layer at a time off this onion. Now, what is so interesting about an onion is that as you begin to take the layers away, flesh of the onion gets whiter and cleaner. It's amazing. But also, the cost of learning this, and it is a cost, it is a process, it takes time. What happens with an onion as you peel it? You begin to cry. And so the word of the Lord was to me, but those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. Mm-hmm. And sometimes this learning from God can be hard. Our schooling sometimes and the trials that we go through that God wants us to learn and be purified, yes, can be very painful. There's the learning side of it. But those that sow in joy shall reap. Those that sow in tears shall reap in joy. That joy will come in the morning. And that is what God showed me as the result of learning from God, but having that teachable and right heart and spirit to learn from him. Then we see in Proverbs chapter 5, verses 1 to 2. Proverbs chapter 5, verses 1 to 2. I want to let the scriptures speak this out tonight. It says in Proverbs chapter 5, verses 1 to 2, my son, pay attention to my wisdom. Lend your ear to my understanding, that you may preserve discretion and your lips may keep knowledge. So here he goes. He's speaking about what we're learning, what we speak. And we all, in our own way, our teachers. Now God obviously raised up anointed teachers in the fivefold ministry, the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. They're to help to mature and perfect the saints, as it says in Ephesians 4. But we also, as witnesses, as we share the good news of the gospel, we too are to speak, to teach. And so God wants us to apply that wisdom, that understanding, that sensitivity, as we share the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, the good news of the gospel. And you know, if you're open to that, you will learn when God moves you alongside, you will know by the Spirit what is right to say and what is not right to say. And each person is different. Some can receive it straight away, others have to mature and develop into it. That is why we're shown that we start, when we start to teach the word of God, you start with the milk of the word, as it says in Hebrews, and gradually develop onto the solids, the meat of the word. But all of that can only be applied by wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. So this is really essential. You know, I've seen sometimes, and I'm sure probably some of you have gone into some rooms on Pal Talk, and you might probably get from somebody, hi, how are you? Or welcome, you know, welcome in the name of the Lord. And the next thing you get from them, are you saved? Well, that's not always a right thing to say. You know, and I saw somebody once who replied back and said, yes, I am. Are you? So I could clearly see there working wisdom not applying. You know, we have to be sensitive how the Holy Spirit leads us and guides us toward one another. Very often our witness is moving alongside so that they see our actions, our life, how we live. They often can be the loudest words that we speak, where sometimes we're required to go that extra mile, which costs us. That is what can speak. So we need to learn these things from God. Let me look in Proverbs 6, Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 20. And here he says, "My son, keep your father's command and do not forsake of your mother." It says it again, which we've read. So he says, keep the law of God. Keep it within your heart. Why? Because the enemy is there to try and snatch and take it away. That is why the parable of the sower is one of the greatest parables that Jesus ever gave. And every time we meet together, even like a meeting like here tonight, the parable of the sower is in operation. It's either falling on that good ground, that ground that's prepared going into the heart, or it falls onto a hard, stony surface. It's how we hear. Then we look in finally in Proverbs chapter 7, verses 1 to 3. Proverbs chapter 7, verses 1 to 3. "My son, keep my words and treasure my commands within you. Keep my commands and live, and my law as the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers, write them on the tablets of your heart. Say to wisdom, you are my sister, and call understanding your nearest kin, that they may keep you from the immoral woman, from the seductress who flatters with her words." My, that's quite a lot there. But again, he says, keep my words. He tells us to treasure those words in our heart. It's like, this may be the last sermon I shall hear, so I treasure this. What I'm hearing, I treasure. Who knows? Our very soul could even be required of us this night. So what we hear, what we're hearing now this moment, we treasure it within our hearts, as if it could be the last. He says, keep my commands, live, and my law, the apple of your eye. So how do we keep his commands? Well, again, this is where we ask of God. We start to appeal to God. Lord, what I'm hearing, what I hear week after week, I want to keep this. I want to live it. I want to apply it. Please help me. It's when we get a realization of ourselves that we are rebellious at times, that at times we don't want to keep his word. We want to do our own thing. So we have to call out to God that he'll work in us, as the scriptures say, both to will and do for his good pleasure. And he says, bind them on your fingers, write them on the tablets of your heart. This all is figuratively speaking of the word that goes deep into the heart, the very soul, the very fiber of our being that we're sustained and kept by. Sometimes you have to pray and intercede about the word that you hear. Sometimes you have to set yourself aside so that you can pray down those things. That's why we encourage saints to write things down that speak to you, that you can take them away, and then you can talk it out with God. Because sometimes when the word of God is being preached, there's so much that can be coming out. There's such a wealth of knowledge and so on, that sometimes we need to just jog our memories and we write one or two things down so that we can take that before God and pray it through so that it becomes part of our life. It lives within us. Hallelujah. So bind them on your fingers. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Say to wisdom, you are my sister. There you are. It's like your sibling, wisdom. I need you. And call understanding nearest kin. We've been speaking about this earlier, that you may keep that they may keep you from the immoral woman, from the seductress who flatters with her tongue. What is he speaking about there? One of the greatest things that we are attacked with is the temptations of the enemy. Now, brothers and sisters, don't let any of us tonight think that we can never be tempted by the enemy. Because if we've ever arrived at that place, then we have fallen for Satan's deception. We believe God that he will preserve and keep us, that he will keep us from the evil one, from temptation, which we pray in the Lord's Prayer. But that is a desire. It is a want. It is a believing. It is at times sometimes being desperate, but we all can at times be vulnerable. And our trials and our tests that sometimes God permits us to go through can make us very vulnerable. And the enemy knows at times where to attack. But if we desire to be preserved and kept and in our trials, then the Lord will be faithful to bring us through. That's why often it's important to pray for brothers and sisters, particularly when they're going through a trial or they're being tempted, praying that their faith will fail not, the same as Jesus prayed that for the disciples. How do you think that they were able to be restored after they had forsaken the Lord that night in the Garden of Gethsemane? The very night when Jesus wanted them to stand with him and in prayer and to comfort him. And they didn't. And not only that, but they denied him. But they turned because Jesus prayed that their faith would fail not. That is a powerful prayer for us to pray for one another, brothers and sisters. And we pray it in the sense that that could be me if it were not for the grace of God. And so, you see, Jesus is revealing that a teachable heart or spirit brings comfort and it brings a rest to your soul. And this is absolutely essential. And I want us to see this in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28. Let's see now what Jesus' words are to us, to those who have a heart, who are teachable, who want to learn. What does he say here in Matthew 11, verses 28 and 29, which I'm sure you know very well? 28, 29, he says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn from me, for I am gentle, lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Here again, even Jesus is saying the same thing. Do you want, have you a teachable heart, a teachable spirit? Because the promise is, he says, if you learn from me, he says, I'm gentle in the way I teach you. I'm lowly in heart. In other words, even God isn't proud or arrogant like we are at times. And you will find rest for your soul. What is that rest? That is the same rest that speaks of the rest of faith, whereby faith we rest in God's presence, in belief, in that simple childlike faith, which he wants from us. Because God is looking in the last day from a total faith from his people. We've got to learn to walk by faith. And look how he teaches us in which to walk by faith. When sometimes we missed it in the faith, God doesn't come down heavy on us and condemn us, because he is also humble. But he will encourage us and help us. Yes, he might admonish us, and rightly so. But he's always there to encourage us. And he says, get back on that horse if you've fallen off and carry on. Hallelujah. You see, for the Holy Spirit to teach us, we have to be humble before him. And to learn, he is the greatest teacher we will ever have on this earth. If we have never learnt this yet, brothers and sisters, we have got to. That the greatest teacher who's moved alongside now to you in this life is the Holy Spirit. And he is the one who teaches you by the Spirit, by that unction, by that anointing. That's why Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. Because they hear the Spirit speaking. And God's people will always hear the Spirit of God speaking. That is the way you discern and test what spirit is speaking behind the word of God, as it says in 1 John 4, that we're to test the spirits. In that test, we discern, is that the Holy Spirit teaching us, or is that a spirit that is of the flesh, the carnal, the intellect, and that's very prevalent, brothers and sisters, or is it of another spirit? A demonic spirit, a religious spirit. So there are fundamentally three areas of discernment that we are to discern in what we're being taught. Is this by the Holy Spirit? Or is this coming out of man's mere flesh and intellect? Or is this coming by another wrong spirit? A demonic spirit, a religious spirit, a cult. So we're to discern. We're to apply that wisdom. We're to test the spirits. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. What does it say in 1 John chapter 2, verse 27? In 1 John chapter 2, let's get to it, and verse 27. And here he says, but the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true, and is not a lie,
a vast virus database has been updated.
As it has taught you, you will abide in him. So fundamentally, if we're to go on with God, we have to be taught by the Holy Spirit and not by man. Now, that doesn't mean to say that God doesn't use man, but what it means that man that's used by God is speaking by the Spirit. And that's what we're to discern in 1 John 4. Because ultimately, it is the Holy Spirit that teaches God's people. Because the Holy Spirit is the one who's going to restore the apostolic church in this last day that is going to be ready for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The church has to come back into that apostolic unity and oneness. That is the bride who makes herself ready under those fivefold ministry of the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. The church comes back into her unity, oneness, and function by the anointing of the Holy Spirit, so that you submit in unity and oneness, lovingly, wanting to, not under man, not under a denomination, but under the Holy Spirit, the sovereign Holy Spirit, God himself, who is head over us, the church, the body of Christ. That is what he's restoring now, brothers and sisters, through the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the deeper life. Anything that is beside that is not what I believe is God's perfect plan for the last day. The vision for God's last day is that we need a vision again of the true body of Christ, its function, its anointing. It has been so fragmented, divided, denominational, man-made. But God has called and is calling a remnant out now from Babylon, from harlotry, so that she comes back again into those true green pastures under the headship, not of man, but under the headship of the Lord Jesus Christ, where we can now function in our ministries. Anything other than that, I do not believe will stand the test in this last day. So we live in exciting times where we're now being restored, being brought back under the power and the anointing of the Spirit. This is why I believe our teaching in this last day in nature is apostolic, bringing us back to a true faith, a true consecration and separation to God, where we can live holy lives, separated unto the Lord, where we can see our lives now overcoming and not being defeated by the powers of darkness, but soaring up now with those eagle's wings, because the church's place is not bound in the valley. She should be flying high in the sky with those eagle's wings, discernment, looking down. Hallelujah. That's our position where we should be. Hallelujah. And God, I believe, is restoring this through the outpouring of the Spirit, through the baptism of the Spirit, through this open door to go deeper with God, maturing now as sons and daughters of God. God doesn't want children, babies anymore. He wants us to grow and mature. And he's doing that by the power and the anointing of the Spirit. But then in order for him to do that, we've got to have that teachable spirit. We've got to be teachable, open, humble, ready to learn, ready to change, ready to move on. Because we're like the plower who's put our hands to the plow. We've got to move forward. We cannot look back. Lot's wife looked back and she turned into a pillar of salt. We dare not look back. We've got to move forward and keep our eyes upon the Lord Jesus Christ, seeking first the kingdom of God, his righteousness. And he says, all these things will be added unto you. What is it in the Lord's Prayer? What is the first thing that we pray? Our Father in heaven, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We're being trained now to preach, teach the kingdom of God. Not some man-made denomination or organization that is not going to stand in this last days. The only message that will stand is the kingdom of God, because it's God's kingdom to be established upon the earth. But in order to teach that and understand it, it has to be revealed to us, shown to us. And it will only be shown to those who have a teachable, humble spirit before the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, a teachable spirit, I've been showing earlier this evening, but it comes by asking. And turn with me to Psalm 27 and verse 25. Psalm 25, verses 4 to 5. Psalm 25, verses 4 and 5. And what does the psalmist say here? Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all the day. What is the psalmist doing there? He's asking. He's calling out to God. And a wise man or woman is going to do exactly the same. Lord, teach me. Show me. I won't know otherwise. Unless my eyes and ears are open, I'm not going to see. That is why I always come to a meeting, like tonight, with expectancy in my heart. And I always say to myself, Lord, my eyes are going to be open more tonight. My ears are going to be unblocked more. I'm going to see and know and learn more than I did an hour ago, because I'm coming into your presence. That's what God wants from us. That's what he wants from overcomers. He wants that heart and spirit to learn. Why do I say this? Because flesh and blood cannot reveal this to you, brothers and sisters. We can only receive these things by the Spirit. It's hid. That's why if your eyes and ears are open and you are of the Spirit, you are blessed. Because the word of God you are hearing is light to you. But to others whose eyes and ears are closed, it can minister death. Because there are two laws that are in operation, the law of life and the law of death. What law do you want in operation tonight? You have a choice. The children of Israel had a choice. And they chose death instead. Because they said, wish to God we were back in Egypt, Babylon. No, you've come out of that. God has brought you away from that. You move forward. Because you have the law of life in Christ Jesus reigning in and through you. That's the very life that raised Christ from the dead, that is also working in your mortal bodies, raising you up. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So there are times, it seems, that we're to ask from God. And even at times, if you don't understand, just stay with it. And God, in that right time, he will show you and he will teach you. Because we have to remember, brothers and sisters, that we're not always ready yet to learn some things. Because, you know, when our eyes and ears are open and we receive light, there's also responsibility to that. And so we have to remember that whatever we're learning from God, as we're growing and learning, there's also a responsibility. And that responsibility is to remain faithful. And so we cry out to God as we're learning, Lord, make me responsible. Make me faithful. Don't let me deny you. Don't let me ever be a Judas. But to be faithful, what I'm learning from you. That's how we grow in the fear of God, which is the beginning of wisdom. But we have to remember that the Holy Spirit, who is our teacher, the comforter, the paraclete, the one who's moved alongside, we have to remember that he teaches us in many, many ways. Now, of course, this is one of the main ways that he teaches us as brothers and sisters, because of the church. That is where we come to the church, because a church is a schooling. It's a place of learning. This room tonight is a schooling tonight. We've come to learn. And so that is one of the primary ways in which God, using a man, a vessel, will teach us. But he's also going to teach us in many other ways as well. We have to learn that he teaches us as we wait upon him. He teaches us sometimes as we're being used. He teaches us sometimes even when we're being chased and chastised, because that's a sign he loves us. Or we're learning, he's teaching us through our trials that we go through. There's so many ways that God can teach us. God can teach us through nature. He can sometimes teach us through an animal or through a baby. There's just so many ways God wants to communicate to us and teach us. And you know, brothers and sisters, God wants us, expects us. He wants us to have that expectation that every day when we walk with him, that we should hear from him and learn from him. It shouldn't be something out of the norm. It shouldn't be always, oh, God spoke to me today and I'm so excited. Hallelujah. I mean, yes, we should be. But on the other side of it, that's what we're saved for. It's the same with miracles. We should expect miracles. We should expect to see brothers, sisters raised up from the bed. We should expect to see that by his stripes we were healed at Calvary. That's the faith he's bringing us to, because that is the heart of a loving father. I mean, how desperate are we in the flesh as parents to see our child healed? And you see parents today, they'll do anything they can. for healing for their child. Well, how much more with our Heavenly Father who loves us? Okay. We should expect that, believe that. That's what he wants from us. That's part of our teaching. You know, Israel, they rejected their Messiah because they fundamentally didn't want to learn. They wanted to stay in their own law, their own creeds, their own doctrines, their own traditions, and so on. And they proved when Jesus came to establish the kingdom, they didn't want it. They didn't want to learn. And you know that goes on in the house of God. There are some who go through the motions, but in their heart they don't really want to learn. And it's proving that it's not a teachable spirit. Do you know, even the prodigal son was shown in the scriptures. At first, he didn't really want to learn, but in the end, he broke. He humbled himself, he returned, and there was a second chance for him to get it right. So God is always working with us, giving us chances to get it right. Why? Because it's not in the Father's heart that any should perish, but that all should come to eternal life. And so those, you see, who go back don't want to learn anymore. Or they become offended. We see the 70 that walk with Jesus. They no longer wanted to walk with him anymore. And it shows us that they went back. They were offended. And they became offended when Jesus began to reveal of them that unless they drink of his blood and eat of his flesh, they will not get eternal life. That offended them. But of course, they were not really seeing what Jesus was saying. Of salvation, to have eternal life, redemption, that the nature in which he was to die as the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And so sometimes we can let the word of God sometimes offend us, and sometimes it can. Sometimes it's not always easy to be able to swallow, but I've learned, you know, just to leave it with God, and sometimes to be honest and just say, Lord, that sermon I heard tonight, I found that so hard. I found it so difficult to swallow. And I've got a problem. But I'm bringing it before you. Please help me. I'm just being honest before you. I found this hard. Yes, I probably was offended. But please, by your grace and mercy, work this into my life. Help me. Change me. Because only God is the one who can change our hearts. And the Bible shows us he's changing our hearts of stone to hearts of flesh. He's putting his law within us. But it's a process, and it takes time. But God, in the way that he works with us, as I've already said, he works differently. But he'll always do it lovingly, gently, and so on. Because that's his nature. That is his heart. But if we try and do it in our own strength, our own pride, our own self-will, eventually we will just completely turn our backs totally upon God and upon his word. And so that, I believe, is what the Lord wants to encourage us with tonight. We have a vast, vast wealth of knowledge, of learning, of understanding of God, and we have to learn that we're never going to stop learning from God, even when we get in eternity. There'll always be something new, some new revelation, every moment, every second in eternity, when we live with him forever and ever. We will never stop learning more about God. But in our limited, infinite way, while we still live in our earthly bodies with our earthly minds and brains, we've still got the comfort of the Holy Spirit. And what he's teaching us is profound, is great. And even though we see it through a mirror darkly, yet we shall see it face to face. And we are being changed from glory into glory, as the Apostle Paul says. But all of this is done and achieved by what we learn through the Word of God, because the Word of God is our deliverance. The Word of God is our healing. The Word of God is our salvation. It is our life. It is our food. It's what we partake of. The Word of God cleanses us. It washes us. And we're all desperate. That is all what we need. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.